being a soldier. And we talked about not just being a soldier, but a good soldier. In the Army, you're going to have some bad soldiers, and you're going to have some good soldiers. I want to focus on the good soldiers. Now, the good soldiers knew that they were a part of the team. How many know that in this walk, guess what? We're not in it by ourselves. And because we are a part of a team, each one of us should be in a position to rely on another person, because I cannot move forward without you. That makes sense? Now, good soldiers, they don't take sides, because there's only one side, that's Jesus Christ. A good soldier is not going to flip-flop every time that something goes on and then begin to look this way, because they know, guess what? Christ is the side that I'm on. A good soldier would never, ever, ever collaborate with the enemy. I don't care if you get caught up. You're not going to collaborate with the enemy. Amen? I can't get no amens in here. A good soldier would never collaborate with. You cannot serve two masters. Amen? You cannot be in a position in which you are serving God and then trying to serve mammon at the same time. You can't do it. You should not do it. Don't be in that position when you go and ask Jesus, hey, didn't I do all this? And Jesus said, man, I never knew thee. Don't be in that position because you found yourself trying to serve. In other words, you can't just come to church on Sundays like everything is all good, knowing that what you did the night before warrants somebody to ask you, hey, man, is this consistent with how you should be living? One of the reasons why I don't get on Facebook right now, because I refuse to have to look and see some of the stuff that the saints do, and then feel compelled to have to question about their lifestyles when their lifestyle is totally inconsistent. Now, you as Christians have liberty to live, but we all know that as Christians, there are some things that we just shouldn't be doing now that we belong to Christ, amen? And so those are the things that I'm really speaking of. We can go out and still have fun. We can still live life, but I want us to be in a position where we are good soldiers. A good soldier is not going to let what happened the night before hinder what he needs to do the next day. See, the bad soldier is going to go out there and do some stuff that's going to cause him to be AWOL the next day, and we can't find him. Now, I got to go into this battle one man down. I'm already fighting an enemy that's, like, insurmountable at times, it seems like, and now I got to go into a battle with less men than I had before, all because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Let's be mindful of that. Now, a good soldier will also endure hardships. How many good soldiers I got in the house today? How many good soldiers know that sometimes, guess what, we're going to go through some things. When you're in battle, you're going to experience some setbacks. You're going to have to call in and make some decisions. You're going to have to ask some people to come and send you some help. But you got to endure that. You can't just say, oh, they're shooting at me. I got to turn around and go the other way now. A good soldier says, hey, man, I'm going to duck this and I'm going to dodge that. A good soldier says, guess what, you bring it on. A good soldier. A good soldier is going to know their weapons. A good soldier is going to know their weapons. So what I want to do today is spend some time talking about some of our weapons. Amen? Amen. The armor of God. These are our weapons. These are our weapons. We see we got a sword and we got a shield and we got some shoes. We got a helmet to wear. We got a belt that we're going to wear. And we also have a breastplate that we're going to wear. Now, all these weapons signify something. And so we're going to try to walk that out today and figure out what they signify and what they represent. Let me tell you about this, though. You cannot go into battle without having every piece of your armor with you. In other words, you cannot go into a situation only taking two of the weapons, or leaving one out. You got to go with the whole armor of God, amen? I'm not going into battle with, and I don't have all of my stuff with me. I'm taking everything in there with me. And you have to have that mindset also. Here's our text for today. I'm just going to ask that for those who are physically capable of standing, that in reverence to the word of God, we stand as we read this, and we'll jump right into it. Ephesians 6, 13 and 17 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you are allowing us to understand the strategy that is necessary as we begin to go out and fight for you, O God. We ask that as you teach us about this whole armor that comes from you, O God, that you give us insight on how to properly use this armor, O God, in light of what you are giving us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. And so, what we're going to deal with today is pretty simple. A good soldier. And you can notice in this picture, for those who can see it, a good soldier, he's out there. Every piece of armor that I just described, now he's out there obviously getting ready for battle. But he has every piece of equipment that was just mentioned. Now, a good soldier is always going to prepare for battle. A good soldier is going to go out with his defensive gear as well as his offensive gear. Now, what I want to do today is primarily talk about the defensive gear. And then maybe next week or so or whenever, we can begin to deal with offense. But today, I want us to know the importance of preparing for battle through using our defensive gear. The first piece of gear is this belt. The very first piece of gear is this belt. The belt. I just want you to look at it. Now, a lot of times when people look at this belt, just for what it is, you see all these different pieces of gold and emblems. A lot of times back in the day when the soldiers were at war, what happened was back then they used to get this money and they had nothing to necessarily spend it on. So they said that because the belt sometimes would represent rank, what they would do is they would spend their money on buying these medallions to put on their belt. And sometimes the more rank an individual had, the more gold medallions and things that you would see. But this belt represents something so much more than rank. And so what we want to do is talk about that today. This belt represents truth. Amen? This belt represents the truth. Now, the belt of truth is part of the armor listed because without the truth, we lost. How many of y'all believe that statement? Without truth, somebody say, hey, look here, you take an individual, and I'm not going to question how true this is, but they told me you could take 99% truth and 1% lie, it all becomes lie. Because once you mix something false with something true, now it's all false. Amen? So it seems as though you would agree with that. But we know that with the truth, we have to have that because if you don't, you find yourself lost. You find yourself at a place where, guess what, man, I want to be led to the way of truth. And look, it says the schemes of the devil will surely overpower us if we don't have the truth. I want us to consider this. The scripture lets us know that Jesus is the way, the what? The truth and the life. And it's only through him that we come to God. Now, what I can't understand, there are people who be like, why is that road so narrow? Why is Jesus the only way that I can come? First of all, I'm so disheartened in the idea that there are people who can't even stand up and say with certainty, Jesus is the only way. And so I don't want to be that person who's complaining about how narrow the road is. I'm just glad I got a road. I'm glad I got a road that I can follow him. I'm glad I recognize, guess what? Jesus said, look, and the only way that I'm going to come to God is through him. And I can stand up here and tell you, and I can say, you know what, you all? That's the truth. That's the flat out truth. I'm so glad about that. Now, it says here, without truth, the rest of the armor would be of no use because we would not have the spirit of truth. So we're going to talk about these other pieces of equipment, but guess what? If I don't have this truth, what else would matter? Would you all sit and listen to me if I sit and told you a whole bunch of falsehood? It don't matter what I can tell you a little bit of truth. If everything else I began to tell you was not true, I expect you to get up and walk out. Now, if you get up and walk out and use the bathroom, I don't want nobody to look at them and think, well, maybe he leaving or she leaving because Perry ain't teaching the truth. All right? I want us to understand that, guess what? The spirit of truth. Now, you look at the spirit of truth. I love how Jesus used those words because he's talking about the Holy Spirit, everybody. And in some cases, the Holy Spirit was also recognized or known to us as the helper. It was also described as the comforter. We talked about the comforter this morning. But in this particular case, he's identified it as the spirit of truth. Now, I look at this word comforter. Now, when you look at the word comforter, it's going to always give this idea of how it's going to be something that can help you. It can encourage you and it can strengthen you. Amen. But when you look at the truth and the spirit of truth, see, that takes on a totally different meaning. See, the spirit of truth gets you to a point where you can recognize the teaching. You can now begin to have illumination and you can be reminded of the work of the spirit. because it's the truth. How many of you know because of the truth, you can ask God to help you remember something that you may have once forgotten, but because it's in you, he can bring that back to your remembrance. That's the spirit of the truth. And so I want us to understand that. Now, let's move on because I want to tie these all together. You have this breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate was worn by these soldiers. I don't really want to get into the specifics of how much they weighed, and you know, but they served a very, very important role. It was to protect your vital organs. It was to bring protection. You couldn't go into war knowing that the enemy got the spear that he's trying to launch at you and have nothing to protect your heart, nothing to protect those things that are vital, you know, right here. But the breastplate that we're dealing with from a spiritual connotation has everything to do with righteousness. Are you all still with me? All right, good. So I want us to look at this. I want us to see this. The breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness purchased for us by Jesus at the cross. I love how when we trust Jesus, everybody, when we get to that place of trust in Jesus, we can make an exchange. He takes away our sin, and then he makes us right with God. Isn't that awesome? He takes away our sin and makes us right with God. Now, our sin was laid on Christ at the crucifixion, and his righteousness was given to us at conversion. And this is what Christians, when you hear them talk about the atonement for sin, this is what they're really dealing with. Let me ask you all a question. Anybody familiar with the bartering system? See, let me tell you about the bartering system for those who don't know. The bartering system basically says you can take an individual who has this, and he's going to try to exchange with someone who has something that maybe they want, and it has to usually typically be of equal value. It has to be of equal value. I can give you this in exchange for that. But how many know that with God, there is no bartering system? God says, guess what? I'm going to give you righteousness, and ain't nobody in here is worthy of it. Forget the barter system. I want this system right here. I want the system that Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to die right here. This point of crucifixion is right here. You've been atoned for your sins. Nothing you did is worthy of anything. And yet, guess what? I love you enough to say, you know what? I'm going to replace all your sin and everything that you've done wrong with the righteousness in me. You all should be celebrating that. That should be something that, guess what? If he don't do anything else for us, that's enough. That right there is enough. It said, and look, at salvation, a breastplate is issued to each repentant sinner. It is specifically designed by God to protect our heart and our soul from evil and deception. Our own righteous acts are no match for Satan's attacks. I want us to see this. In Isaiah, it says, we have all become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Y'all see that? Everything that you've done that you think is right is dirty. A polluted garment. Say, we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Sin is so bad, everybody, that it makes us unclean, and we can't even go to God anymore. That's what sin does. Your best effort is still infected by sin. How many of y'all know that? No matter how righteous you think you are, your best effort is still not enough. Now, this passage of Scripture doesn't mean that God is going to reject us when we come to him in faith. So I don't want to make sure that we don't send that message. It doesn't mean that he's going to despise our best effort. But what this means is that if we are demanding acceptance on the basis of our good conduct, then we're in the wrong place. Our mindset is wrong. Our attitude is wrong. God is going to let us know that the best thing, your best effort is still nothing compared to his infinite goodness. Amen? Your best effort. And so this message is typically primary for the unrepentant, not the true follower of God. See, the true follower of God already knows that, guess what, there's nothing I can do. The true follower of God knows that I'm just a mess. And if it had not been for God loving me so much and sending his only begotten son to die for me, where would I be? The true follower, you don't have to tell that to, because the true follower knows and recognizes these things. See, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must first have the belt of truth firmly in place. Without truth, our righteousness will be based upon our own attempts to impress God. I can't stand sagging, everybody. I hate that. I despise everything about it. But when you put that belt on, everything is secure, isn't it? Everything is upright. it's presentable, and it holds everything else in place. Now, think about this belt. Think about this belt of truth that has to hold this righteousness of this breastplate in place. Now, if I didn't have this belt on, this may begin to slip down or slip another way. But because I got this truth on, guess what? Nothing's going to fall. I'm not going to be one of them sagging soldiers for God. I'm not going to be one of them individuals who, guess what, not operating in the truth and in the spirit of God because I ain't got my belt on right. I want to be one of those soldiers where you don't have to tell me to pull my pants up. Because it's all about the truth. I love this. Look at this last statement. Without truth, our righteousness will be based upon our own attempts to impress God. That's the truth. Now, that's the honest to God truth right there. And so I need us to be mindful of that. There's more. As we wear Christ's breastplate of righteousness, we begin to develop a purity of heart that translates into actions. Also, it says that wearing this breastplate creates a lifestyle of putting into practice what we believe in our hearts. See, I remember when I first began to walk this Christian walk, I could say all the right things. I would make my mouth say all the right stuff, but my heart wasn't necessarily in it. How do I know that? My mouth was making me say all the right things to impress everybody so I can sound like it was all good, but yet my heart was the furthest thing from God. How do we know that? Because my lifestyle didn't match up with the very things that I was speaking. But now this breastplate I got on now and this righteousness that I have basically is telling me, you know what? My heart is now in this place. I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind. But guess what? Now my heart is not in the right place. So what good is it? I can make my mouth say anything, but my heart is where it's at. My heart is where it's at. How many of you got a heart for God? And if you do, everybody should know it. It should never, ever, ever, ever be questioned. Because you've grown, and if anybody like me had to get to a place of maturity and say, I don't want to say that, guess what? My heart is bigger than yours because I do this and you don't do that. No, we all had to get to that place. A good soldier doesn't come to the army knowing all there is to know. That's why we have boot camp. You got to start somewhere, everybody. But I told you before in the previous sermon that I had to ensure that as a good soldier, and that's what I aspired to be, I wouldn't yoked up with some other good soldiers. And there was usually somebody who was more mature because they have experience and they can help me in my walk. When I didn't do that, I got in trouble. The moment I got in trouble, I had to do 45 days restriction, 45 days extra duty. All the respect that people had for me was gone because now they're making me come clean up their office, take out their trash, and do all that because I'm a bad soldier. I said, I don't want this anymore. That's not a good experience. I want to be a good soldier. I'm not making this story up. I went from worst to first. And one of the reasons why I did that, and the only reason I can't attribute that to God because I wasn't walking with God for real at that time. But one thing I do know is that God was instrumental in the lives of those people who came to help me because they was all in the church. And I know that they were praying. And I began to yoke up with them. And I went from being on restriction on the ship, can't go out when everybody else is having fun, to becoming the sailor of the year within a 1 year's time, all because of the decisions that I made because I had to change my heart. And what I'm asking of all of us is to get to that same place. It creates a lifestyle that we can now put into practice. We like to say that we're from the show me state, being from Missouri. Now, there may be some truth to that, amen? And so I want us to be mindful, you know, of that. Now, here's one thing that I've learned. When the armor is abused or worn incorrectly, it can malfunction. There's nothing worse than to abuse the very things of God or to abuse this armor that you're getting ready to put on it and expect for it to work when it's time to work. No. You got to make sure that when you put your armor on, you got to make sure you put it on correctly. What good is that breastplate that's supposed to protect this? What good does that do me if I got it on backwards? Because the back of it usually is just the straps and things. The front is the stuff that's about 2 millimeters thick or maybe even greater than that that's going to prevent you from coming and trying to pierce me in my vital organs. Now, if I got this thing turned around, what good is it going to do me to wear it backwards? Yeah, I got it on, but I ain't wearing it right. How many know that when you have a heart for God, it has to be pure? It has to be pure. You can't just make your mouth say whatever. Your heart has to be pure, everybody, and I want you to see this. If you want to have effectiveness, if you're looking for a place of effectiveness, you know, then you want to make sure that you are not abusing this armor, and you certainly got to make sure you wear it right. All righty. It's one of my favorite. The shoes. Now, one would imagine, I want you to see it because I took a picture. I have pictures available for you to get you to see the top, but also the bottom of these. And I want you to just keep a visual of what you see. Now, you would think that going, how many of you with men, I don't think there's a man in here would think that wearing these are straight up comfortable to wear these. You know, this the matter of fact, I've seen some women with some sandals on that look just like these right here. You know, they look just like, some of you may even have a pair yourselves, whatever. But I want you to understand that there's something far more significant than what we see and what it was made of through these leather straps. I want us to see the real significance behind this. Now, excuse me. So soldiers must study the enemy strategy. As a soldier, you have to study the strategy of the enemy, because you need to understand how they're going to attack you. How many of y'all think that's important? You need to understand that the enemy is going to attack. I want to know how he's going to attack. I need to know from which side he's going to attack. Why? Because I want to be prepared. How many know that when the enemy comes and you're prepared, you're just sitting there right there waiting on him? Ain't it a good thing to be waiting on him? So he's coming. The enemy is going to come, everybody. Make no mistake about it. But when he comes, to know that you are prepared, that's what's going to make the difference. And likewise, you had to have your own strategy. You had to know exactly what you're going to do in the face of adversity. When the enemy does come, you know he was coming, but if you don't have a plan of attack, then how are you going to deal with it? Understand this. You got to have your feet so firmly planted that you could hold your own ground when the enemy attacks. If you notice in the picture, not only were the shoes made of this leather type straps, but the picture showed that there were like these spikes or these cleats that were at the bottom. The reason why, because when you're at battle, you don't want to be slipping and sliding when you're trying to fight with the enemy, right? You want to be in a position where you're kind of dug in, right? I'm dug in right now. I'm going to dig in and I'm firm and you cannot move me because these cleats is keeping me grounded. You understand what I'm saying? And so now when the enemy tries to attack me, you can't just throw me off course. I'm not just sliding from here and sliding from there. Why? Because I'm firmly grounded, and I'm grounded in this word. And we're going to talk about this. So the soldiers battled. They were to keep them steady with nails and spikes to help keep their balance. See, when you're ready with the gospel of peace, you live under the understanding that you're going to be continually under attack. That's why when you are taking this message, this gospel of peace, you got to know that, guess what? Just as much as you have to preach it to people on Sunday, you got to be ready to preach it to them on Tuesday too. The scripture tells you got to be ready in season and out of season. You got to be able to preach to people even when you don't want to. You got to be able to minister to people even when you're going through something yourself. Even when you're experiencing hardships and you feel like there's nothing in you, guess what? You're still in the fight and you got to still be able to help them along. I don't care if you're wounded or not. Because God is going to comfort us anyway. He's going to take care of it. That's why the scripture says, look here, I need you to do what you have to do. You have to do this. It's so, so important. But let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Now, the peace shoes that God supplies his soldiers, they have two purposes. Now, I know a lot of theologians, they teach you that the sword is the only offensive weapon in our armory. I'm not going to go there. Because my thing is, when you are a good soldier, you're going to realize that the very thing that can serve as an offensive weapon can be used as a defensive weapon as well, and vice versa. So I need us to understand that. It's not about trying to identify defense versus, it's about understanding what we have. This is our artillery, and this is how we're going to use it. Now, in order to defend ourselves against the evil one, we got to have confidence of our position in Christ. And you got to be able to stand firm in the truth of God's word, regardless of how terrifying the circumstances may be. Y'all see that? Regardless of what you got going on, you got to have confidence in your position in Christ. Not everybody has this kind of confidence, everybody. Sometimes Satan will come in and he'll begin to question and have you doubting stuff. How many of y'all ever heard, well, if God loved us so much, then why did he let this happen to us? What is your response? Well, I don't know. What your response should be, Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for the good of those who are called and to love God and to call according to his purpose. That's what your response should be. You don't have to worry about the details of what God is doing. You should just say, you know what? I don't know why this happened, but all things work together. That's what our response should be. See, the enemy would come in and make you feel like, hey, what you did years and years ago, there's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. The enemy would say, hey, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? But I'm so glad that the scripture said it is written. If you confess your sins, he is faithful. Y'all remember that scripture? To forgive all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You all remember that scripture? Yeah, it's in there. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. You got to remember that your position is not based on your own ability or your worthiness either. Our position in Christ is not based on our own ability or our worthiness. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of things that happen to us that are really good, and we just can't go around boasting and be like, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm the man of God. And, you know, guess what? It's because of what I do is why God is showing this favor to me. No, it has nothing to do with anything. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by washing the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's what God is doing. So again, I tell you, there's nothing that you or I can do that God is going to be so impressed with because of our own righteousness that we think we've somehow arrived. We got to get that out of our head. We got to stop thinking that, guess what? I'm the man because look at what I did. When I preach, everybody gets saved. When I sing, everybody get up and start shouting. When I teach, everybody learns something. We see that in church all the time. And for some of us, we kind of look at it and we just, you know, some of us, it's such a turnoff that, you know, we can't even fathom dealing with it. But these things exist, and it's so important that we recognize these things. Our abilities and our own worthiness, you know, have nothing to do with anything. Know this, shoes are also for moving, everybody. God expects us to go on the offensive and take the gospel of peace to others. He expects us to do that. What good is it to have all this biblical knowledge about who God is and you're not willing to share it with anybody else? You're not God. God has put you in a position. He's gave you the shoes. Now you got to wear them. Those shoes fit you. In 1 Peter, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you why, to give the reason for the hope that you have. See, you all have a hope in God because of what God has done with you. And you got to always be in a position ready to go and share that message with somebody else so that the hope that you have, they can also be the recipient of that same kind of hope. But what good is it for you to have all this hope and everybody else is out there? That's no good at all. Don't die with all this knowledge. Don't fade away not being able to walk along somebody and bring them up to speed. Pour everything of you out into them. Your desires for them, you should want them to be better than you anyway. You should want them to do more, greater. You know, if you walked a mile in these shoes, guess what? I want you to take your own shoes and walk even further. That's the gospel of peace, everybody. That's the gospel of peace. Now, sharing our faith is one of the best ways to maintain our own sure footing. Why? God knows that when we are active speaking of him to others, we not only charge into Satan's territory, but we dig our shoes more deeply into the truth. See, the more and more that I can help somebody, the more and more I'm going to get in the word to make sure that I'm actually giving them the truth. So I'm digging in there. I'm constantly digging. I'm constantly digging, trying to make sure I can get this truth, because I don't want to tell you anything that's going to lead you astray. And the more God is using me to dig into this word so I can better help you, the more that you are going to learn. I'm stepping right over into Satan's territory now and saying, you know what? I'm here now. And I want to take these people back with me. Some of us right now, we got relatives that's sitting over there in the enemy's camp. How many of you are brave enough to put on your shoes and say, you know what? I'm going over to the enemy's camp. And I'm going to snatch back what belongs to me. Some of us got kids over here in the enemy's camp right now. Guess what? You coming with me. Some of us got issues over relationship issues over there. Guess what? You coming with me. And the reason I can do that is because I got these shoes. I got this gospel that I'm getting ready to teach. It's not of my own word. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think. It's what the word of God says. This is important. Now the shield. We're getting ready to wrap up in a moment. We got the shield. I want you all to see this shield. The shield which represents faith. This shield that represents faith. I want you all to see this. This is one that I'm not talking the Captain America shield. I'm talking about this shield, this spiritual armor that we have, something that's far greater. Look at this. Now, the Roman shield of the time was called a scutum. Now, this type of shield was as large as a door. I want you all to visualize that. This was a really big shield, and it would cover the warrior entirely. So imagine this warrior. He got this shield. Your height, your own height, you got a shield that's going to cover you pretty much from head to toe. And such a shield was not just a defensive, but it could also be used to push people back. So remember, while the enemy is firing these fiery darts at you, you are blocking it with this shield trying to extinguish those darts. But even as the enemy is trying to come up on you, you can use this shield to kind of push them back. Are you all with me? Can you see that visual? This is what this shield, now I need you to flip that into something spiritual now. See this. When you're fighting as a group, because a lot of times we're not going to go into war just by ourselves. I'm glad that I got a family like you that I can go into battle with. I'm glad that I got a family that I know that I can depend on. I'm glad I got a family who's going to be praying, who's going to give God's love, who's going to wear those shoes, who's going to put that helmet on, who's going to have that sword, who's going to have all the things they need, that belt, who recognizes that they can't do anything outside of God. And regardless of how righteous you think you are, it's nothing compared to God. Now, that's the kind of people I want to go into battle with. Are you those kind of people? Amen. I know that you are. I know that you are. And so I want you to see this. When they were fighting as a group, they had to position themselves to form an enclosure around themselves that was called a testudo. I want you to see it. I want you to see. Look at these soldiers. Now, they're getting ready, and they're preparing for war. I want you to see this. Look at this. The enemy is trying to detract. We don't know which way the enemy is coming from. But they got all the bases covered, everybody. They got all the bases covered. They, from top to bottom, they gave themselves, and you can't see it, but they gave themselves just a little bit of light, a leeway, so they can actually see what's going on. And so now, guess what? They're getting ready to do some damage, everybody. Now, imagine the damage that they're getting ready to cause as a tight unit versus the damage that you can cause by yourself. Now, each one of you can do some things independently, and your contributions will be invaluable. But imagine if all of us come together as the body of Christ that we say we are and get ready to attack the enemy just like that. Not only will we be defended, but we're going to be pushing them back. I'm going to step into that territory. Why do we always got to let the enemy come to us? We need to start bringing the fight to them. That's where you got those shoes on. I'm not going to sit back and let the enemy always come mess with me. I'm going to go mess with him. That's where we need to be. I'm not going to wait for him to just begin to do things with me or my family. I got to say, you know what? Look, we're going to fight anyway. I'm going to start this fight. When they ask me who hit him first, I'm going to say, I did. I started this fight. This is where we need to be, everybody. Right there. Now, the shield is vitally important to why? Because it provides a blanket of protection. I want you to understand that I'm speaking about faith, everybody. I want you to see the spiritual. It is meant to be taken up in all circumstances. It's the first barrier against the enemy's attack. Do I need to read it again? It is meant, faith is meant to be taken up in all circumstances. Why? It is the first barrier against the enemy's attack. I need us to understand this. And see this. This is so important. Now, oftentimes, shields were painted with identifying marks. I don't know if you all noticed, but on that shield, there was a mark that was in front of it. Now, this identifying mark represents the Christian who is going to take up the shield and identifies himself as a soldier for the Lord. How many know that we've been marked? When people look at you, they need to say, Christian. That's what they need to say, not heathen. They should say Christian, and not Christian heathen either. They need to be able to see something in you. Just like that mark that was clearly defined on that shield, they need to see that you are, in fact, who you say that you are. It's about faith, everybody. And when you begin to understand and know what faith is, that's why we can fight the enemy. That's why we can take up some things. That's why the scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. When you looked at that picture and they were going into this battle, do you see the enemy? You don't see the enemy nowhere around them, but they know they're getting ready to go into battle. And guess what? They have the confidence and assurance that they're getting ready to win this battle, even though they don't even see the enemy in territory. But because of who they are, because they know God, because of their faith, their faith is not allowing them to look at their circumstance. Their faith tells them, guess what? I have the assurance of things hoped for, which is the victory that comes for Christ Jesus, and the conviction of things not seen. So even though I can't even see my enemy right now, I'm still going to fight him. I still know that I got to fight. I know that I'm guaranteed victory because that's what the Word of God teaches me. But if I don't go in there in my situation with faith, and guess what? I'm struggling with some things right now, man, and it's only prayer and faith that keeps me going. And it had not been for those, man, what else would we have? Sometimes things aren't the way that we want them, when we want them. That's why faith has to kick in, everybody, and say, you know what? It may not look like the way you want it right now, but guess what? If you keep trusting God, it'll come. And until it comes, God is going to work on me to help me find a place of peace until we get there. That's how God that we serve. So Satan's attack can sometimes cause us to doubt God. Satan's attack will cause us to sometimes get to a place where we be like, Lord, man, I don't, whatever. You get to a place where you just want to throw your hands up. You begin to question if God is even real. You begin to question all the things that you said that he promised you. You no longer believe those promises. And see, the enemy has a way of doing that. The enemy, and the reason why he does that, because he can come and play with your heart. He can come play with your emotions. And if I can get a play on your emotions, then guess what? I got you. Because now you're not rationally thinking. Now you're all in your feelings now. And when the enemy gets you all in your feelings, guess what? You begin to make decisions that don't line up with the way you should be living and the way that God wants things for you. And the enemy knows how to do that because he knows your vulnerabilities, just like he knows my vulnerabilities. But that's why it's so important to understand his strategy. And because we know his strategy, we know how to defend ourselves. How do we defend ourselves from him getting to our heart? You wear that breastplate of righteousness. That's what you do. Then you get to a point of recognizing this. Now it says, faith reminds us that through the fulfillment of God's promise, we may not, it may not really be visible to us, but yet God is still true to his word. And so we've been asking God for some things, and right now we can't see it, but God is a God that can't lie. How many of y'all believe that? If you believe that, you recognize that that's the truth. And if that's the truth, then why do we get to the point of letting the enemy discourage us and make us believe something different? When we acknowledge the truth. Now, I'm not saying that as Christians we don't have hard times. We talked earlier about how Paul was even distressed. But man, when we go back to understanding what the Bible teaches us and how that is the absolute truth, that should help us withstand all the tactics of the enemy. Now, Satan is going to attempt to plague us with doubt, and he's going to entice us with instant gratification. He's going to say, you know what? You've been waiting for years. I can get this to you right now. You don't have to sit and wait patiently anymore for that. I can get to you right now. I can give you the whole world and put it right in your hands. But see, when you're operating in faith, you can recognize that it ain't nothing but the devil. You can recognize when the serpent comes down and try to say, hey, surely you ain't going to die. You be like, no, man, don't come to me. I've seen that before. You're not going to get me with the same thing you got her with. Amen? I've seen this movie before. This is a rerun. You're not going to get, matter of fact, you got me the first time. Shame on you, you know. But I've seen this before. And so now faith is going to recognize this. And when the enemy is throwing those fiery darts at you, when they're coming at you, your shield is right there extinguishing them. They blocking them. No, I ain't got this. Yeah, you may have said something, but I'm operating in faith. If I've got a soldier that's with me who's lacking in faith, I got to put you behind me. You can't be on the front line with me because right now you don't even trust that we're going to get to the other side. I need all my good soldiers up in the front. You can pick up the rear and the gear. That's all you're good for. You go to the rear and pick up my gear because I need somebody that's going to help fight. And if you ain't trying to fight, you need to get off this front line. And that's where I'm trying to get us to this place of understanding. We got the armor to do it. God is not putting us into a battle with stuff that we can't win. He's not saying, yeah, think about God, man. Think about oh, my God. Here's David going up against Goliath, and what did he use? Now, here's this big little guy going up against this big old guy, and what did he use? He used a weapon that we would have looked at as like, surely that's not going to be enough to suffice. Surely he's not going to be guaranteed victory. But with God, look at what he did. Now, if God can do that with David, fighting Goliath, imagine what he can do with us when we begin to use his spiritual weapons. God is an awesome God. Now, when Satan accuses us, faith chooses to believe that that Jesus had redeemed us and that there is no more condemnation. First of all, when Satan accused you, you did what he said you did. We're all guilty. Satan will always try. Go and read Zechariah, third chapter, I believe. Accused Joshua, the high priest, of doing what he was doing. Yeah, he did it. But the scripture says, isn't he a brand plucked from the fire? I know that what I was doing was going to cause me to be on my way to hell. But because I now got my life right, I don't have to live in this condemnation anymore. You're not going to keep continually condemning me for the things that I used to do, especially when I don't do those things. The enemy is always going to let you know that surely you can't go and do this because of what you used to do. How many of you know that's what you used to do? And you got to learn to put those things behind you. You cannot move forward with this luggage that you're still trying to carry around. What I need for you to do is get you some water, take that luggage off, and leave it over there somewhere. Because I need to go into this battle. And this battle is going to be rough. And we don't have time for you to be held back and held down because you're carrying something that you should no longer be carrying. I know we've done some things. If we all were to go around the room right now to tell what we used to do, it'd be like open house scandal. And everybody get up and walk out this place out of anger and disgust of what the person sitting next to you has done. But the good thing is that God forgave us for all those things. We don't have to keep bringing it up. We don't have to keep making mention of those things. We don't have to keep on relishing on that. There's no more condemnation. Why? Because we've been redeemed. How many of you are glad that we've been redeemed? Well, the Bible says, well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should be happy about this. We should be excited about this. I'm not going to keep looking back. If I lose some friends, guess what? I got to go. If my family don't want to go with me, I got to go. Church, if you're not trying to roll with me, you got to go. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to stay. This is what the Lord wants from us, everybody. He wants us to fight this fight. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. And so as I close, I want us to consider this. A good soldier will always know how to defend himself. A good soldier will know how to defend himself. When we are equipped with God's defensive gear, we are more effective in stopping the enemy. When we are equipped with his gear, we are in a better predicament or position to actually stop what the enemy is trying to throw at us. Now, a good defense can stop any offense from overtaking us and yielding us helpless. I need you to also understand that we're fighting a defeated foe. That enemy is going to try to do everything and everything that they can, but they're going into the situation, well, I know we lost, but we're going to see if we can take one of them with me. I ain't giving none of you up. And guess what? I hope that you don't want to give yourself up. This is the one time where, because we're guaranteed victory, we don't have to make any sacrifices. Not like that anyway. The enemy will trick us into believing that he is not defeated. But with God's defensive armor, we can take a stand against the devil's tactics. Why? Because we are soldiers, and every good soldier must know how to stop his enemy. If you are a soldier, you have to be in a position to know and recognize how to stop this enemy. This enemy is going to attack us, everybody. There's nothing worse than when an enemy tries to attack you from behind. But the enemy is going to attack you, and sometimes he's going to be just bold to just walk right up on you. And sometimes he's going to be very sneaky and deceptive and do it when you're not looking. But because we know that, we need to always find ourselves at a place of preparation, knowing that the enemy is going to come. Now, just like Christ had informed us that, you know, it's like he's going to come like a thief in the night. When the enemy does the same thing, going around trying to seek who he may devour, right? And because we know that, we have to be able to withstand that. We have to be in a position to recognize that when the enemy comes in trying to bring harm to us, what are we going to do? Are we just going to let him just have his way, or are we going to be in a position? The best thing that we can do is be in a position by having faith, knowing that we can go into this battle, knowing that the body of armor that God gives us will bring us about victory. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you.